Hello everyone, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and beautiful battlefield terrain can really bring a game to life. But maybe you thought you never had the artistic skill to build a complete battlefield. But if you ever thought that, I'm going to prove you wrong today as we do the ultimate introductory guide to battlefield terrain in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield! Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And as I said in the intro, all we're doing is building terrain. So we've got, obviously, the battle board in front of us, or the battle map, however you want to call it. We're going to show you how to build that. We got some hills for you made out of styrofoam and some little flocking stuff. We've obviously got trees. These are actually a little bit different trees than what I showed you last year from in Episode 11, so a little bit nicer, I think. We've got the terrain templates for the forest that the trees sit on. And finally, also, we got little things. They're called, I actually call them doodads. They're named after stuff from StarCraft. They're just little bits of terrain you can slap down little pretty things and make things prettier, maybe add a little bit of flavor to a relatively bland battlefield. But if you want to jump to a certain terrain type, I'll go ahead in the show notes and list about where in the podcast each of the terrain types start at. And with that, I got nothing else to add at the moment, so let's go ahead and build some terrain. Okay, so first off, we're going to get started by building the ground that you guys are actually going to fight on. Now, I'm assuming you have about a 4-foot by 4-foot table, kind of like the one we built back in, I think it's episode 5 of this season. So what you're going to do is you're going to build the battlefield out of foam core boards. It's kind of the stuff that 3D puzzles are made with. So it's kind of got two layers of poster board with one little layer of kind of styrofoam material in between it. You can get it from just about any hobby or, you know, hobby art store, or maybe in some general supply store sells them. But, what I wanted to do is create the battlefield is 4 2x2 segments. The problem is, this foam core board I got in front of me right here is 20 inches by 30 inches. So we kind of improvised a little bit and end up actually making the board about 24 inches wide, and then about, you can make it 24 inches long if you cut off a side piece here, but it leaves kind of a little corner, I'll show you in the middle, a kind of empty corner in each of the four corners of the battlefield, which isn't too critical, but it's just, doesn't look quite as nice as a nice even 4x4 field. So what you're going to do with this guy is start by measuring in 24 inches from one of the long sides. So what you're going to do is you're going to cut off a side of it and kind of create a little folding hinge. So take out a tape measure and just go ahead and draw a line of 24 inches in from one side. So if I hold this up, you can see a nice little line I've got coming down here. It's 24 inches in from this long side over here. So now you want to go ahead and cut this line. So you cut off this end piece. So get out like a nice little hobby knife. You got one of those ones with the retractable blades. And obviously, as usual, cut away from you. So, you know, so essentially if the blade were to slip, it's not going to fly and stab yourself in the gut. It'd be really messy that way and very painful. So now as you can see here, I've got two pieces, the one large piece, which is 24 inches by 20 inches, and a small piece that works out to be about 20 inches by about 6 inches. So what you're going to do now is, depending on how your battlefield is laid out, because you want the four empty corner slots to be in the four corners of the battlefield. Let me go ahead and lay my piece down the way it's going to sit in the battlefield. And then line this small piece up, so it's going to be lined along one of the 24-inch long edges here. And you're going to get ready to start taping things. So as you can, so if I kind of lift it up a little bit here, I'm holding up, you can see how I've got the 20-inch piece that I just cut off along one of the 24-inch edges, and there's a little empty corner over here in the side. So I'm going to create this thing into a flapping hinge portion, so get out some masking tape, and first run one nice long piece, almost along the length of where the 20-inch piece meets the 24-inch piece. And then run several other pieces kind of perpendicular to the hinge, just so you get a nice sturdy connection going. So when everything's all said and done with, you should have a nice little hinge here. You can see me kind of folding it up. And that'll get you a pretty close to about a 24-inch by 24-inch section of the battlefield. Now, before we can go ahead and paint this guy and get all the terrain and stuff on it, you want to go ahead and coat it with a nice layer of black spray paint. Because if you try to paint this guy with just the white, the paint's going to just not look very good. The black spray paint gives a nice undercoat to it. So just use pretty run-of-the-mill cheap spray paint you get from any store. Don't waste any expensive primer on this. You don't need it. Just get very cheap, basic spray paint. Take it outside and give it a nice coat of black spray paint. So, the black spray paint on the main base is dried. And I probably should point out, if you ever notice this happening, like it's happening right now, where the board's kind of curling, if I hold it up, you can kind of see how it doesn't sit flat on the field. What you're going to find is when all the painting's done, because what happens is the paint kind of makes one side kind of curl a little bit more than the other sides. You're going to take this guy out, put him in some nice heavy books, and leave him in the sun for a while, and that'll kind of let it all melt down and get in a situation where it'll lay flat. So, get all the paint done first, then you can go ahead and worry about getting this guy flattened out. So what we're going to do here now is decide what regions are going to be mud and what regions are going to be grass. Now, for the most part, it's relatively arbitrary, unless in a situation where you've already got other terrain pieces set up around it, as I do right now. Where's my pencil? So you want to make sure that obviously there's this continuation between the different terrain pieces. So, I'm going to do first now is mark out the areas that are going to be grass. So I'm going to go over here where it meets the other battlefield and just kind of, let's mark this little area here will be grass. And I kind of just, with a pencil, just kind of gently shade them in. So you know that area is going to be grass. So we'll make this area over here, so make this whole length of this side kind of be grass. And let's go ahead down here and kind of cut a swath up through here that'll be grass. So once you decide what areas are going to be grass and what's going to be the mud, you're going to go ahead and do this about three layers. Because you'll find the paint doesn't stick all that well to the spray paint. It sticks pretty well to itself, but not to spray paint. So, the first layer you're going to get out is some nice brown spray paint. Some brown tempera paint, you know, kind of washable poster paint stuff, really cheap stuff. Just slap some down on the board, take out an inch brush, which is basically a 1-inch paintbrush you can buy from just about any big box store, any store sells paintbrushes, any kind of paint supplies. And just kind of quickly give a light coating of brown paint to all the areas you've indicated as being mud. Of course, I should say, I'm going to a very kind of standard earth-like battlefield. If you want, you can go right ahead and make any color paint for the mud you want. So if you want to make some kind of crazy alien world that's blue or red ground, go for it. There we go. So that's pretty good right there. This is a very quick and dirty painting job where all the mud's going to be on the battlefield. So now we're going to play the exciting game that is the waiting game. It's gonna let it dry for a while. It takes a while for this paint to dry before you can apply the second layer. That's all. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead now and apply the second layer to our main battlefield area. So what I've got now is the first layer of quick brown is all dried. So now the second layer of brown is gonna stick to it a lot better than the first layer tried to stick to the spray paint. So you're gonna put the second layer on a little bit thicker. So take your brown poster paint out again and just kind of dump a huge chunk on in one spot. And just go through the process of painting it on, staying on the areas that you've already covered in brown. Okay, so once you got the next kind of thick layer of brown put on, what you're going to do is take a little bit of black paint and actually mix in a little bit of black paint into it to create a very muddy effect. Do a little bit of drop a little bit of black in one spot, and just using a bunch of different crisscross strokes, go ahead and blend a little bit, and you'll see the area will get a little bit darker. So this will give a little bit of an uneven consistency to the battlefield and make it look a little more realistic than one flat color. So we're going to set this guy off, let him dry, and then the last step is go ahead, paint in the rest of the areas with brown and cover them up with the grass.
Now it's time to do the last and final step of finishing a terrain tile for the battlefield. So what we've got now is you've got kind of your muddy areas with kind of different shades of brown thanks to the black paint, and then you've got the areas that are still solid black paint. And what we're going to do is cover up these areas of solid black paint with some type of flocking. Here I'm actually using Woodland Scenics flocking. It comes in a variety of colors, and I use Woodland Scenics mainly because it's relatively cheap. You can get a big bag like this for about $5 to $7, depending where you get it from. It's designed for model railroading, so it's the kind of little grass you see all over model railroading terrains. Fields. Yeah. Model terrain layouts, that's probably what I should say. So what you want to do is you want to get a little shaker bottle. I always use empty spice containers. You wash them out, and they're good to go. In addition to having the little flock in here, I also put some little bit of gray ballast. Ballast are the little gray rocks you see right here in this little guy I'm holding up right now. That's another thing for model railroading. That's the kind of stuff you put along the track for model railroading. So I mix it in to kind of give a little bit more texture to it. So there's little bits of, so you see these little bits of stones kind of in the grass fields. So I've put some of both in this little spice shaker here. We're going to just shake it up a little bit. You're going to take out your brown paint. You only need one layer for this, nothing fancy. Slap down a little bit of brown paint in the areas that are still just pure black. Cover them up with the layer of brown paint. You don't need it too thorough, too much brown paint. So just a quick layer so the whole thing's covered a little bit. There we go. Start, do this one section at a time. Once you're going to go take out your flocking and just sprinkle the flocking all over the area you just painted. And obviously then the paint is going to act as a glue to hold the flocking down to the base. And at the end, any excess flocking you're going to go ahead and shake off. And we'll get to that after we put all the little sections down. So repeat the process for all the different sections you've got out here to put flocking down. And that's all for building a battle part of the battlefield. Right out of flocking, just right as I finish this thing up. That's pretty good, I'd say. So the last thing you gotta do here is take this sheet out, set it outside for a while, let it dry for about an hour or so for all the flocking to stick down. And then you're gonna lay out some newspaper, and then you're gonna tip this board up and let all the excess flocking, it's not like pasted down, it's gonna slide off and down onto the newspaper. Therefore, you can catch the newspaper and kind of fold up the newspaper into a little funnel and send it back into your little shaker bottle. So, once that's done, you might want to just let the whole thing lay under a few heavy books for about a few hours, maybe a day, to let it kind of flatten out completely from all the paint curling. And you're ready to go with this thing on the battlefield. Just repeat the process, at least three more times. You get yourself a nice square battlefield.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to what I call the doodad layer. The name actually comes from StarCraft. Have you ever made any maps for StarCraft? You know there's actually a doodad layer in there where you drop all sorts of oddball little items on the map, just kind of little obstacles and things. And that's what we're going to do here. So they come in different forms. Sometimes it could just be a little artistic, like here I've got some little bushes, nothing really fancy. Maybe you want some little more game influencing, like maybe here's some difficult terrain, like in the form of gigantic rocks. Or you get really crazy. I've got here actually some plastic floor arrangements that I cut out to make them look like they're giant poisonous plants from some alien world. So there's a lot of different things you can do with these, what I call the doodads. The idea of these are, it's basically to add a little bit of flavor to the battlefield. Because obviously you want the figures to be able to stand nice and evenly on your field. So you don't want lots of little debris and stuff on the actual field itself. So these are the little things you can slap down anywhere in the battlefield and just kind of give a little decoration to the field. So first thing you're going to need is you're going to need some type of tag board. What I recommend doing is here, I eat a lot of microwave dinners. So I've actually cut up in some old microwave dinner boxes, and I'm going to use that for all the tag board in this project. Just a great way to reuse things and reduce waste and basically save the environment in the process. So what I'm going to start off here is I'm making a little circle templates we got that these doodads are made out of. So what I've got here is a yogurt cup. It's a pretty standard 8-ounce yogurt cup, nothing fancy. And all I'm using this for is to trace around the bottom to make little circles. So I'm going to trace around the bottom and just get a bunch of circles drawn out. That's pretty good. So you can see here I've got a nice set of circles all drawn out. We're going to go ahead and take some scissors and cut them all out. And these are going to become the basis for the little doodad items. So I got a couple circles cut out, ready to go, and like with the rest of the battlefield, you want to give these guys a quick coat of black spray paint to make the whole little painting process a little bit easier. So let's take them outside, we'll give them a nice quick coat of spray paint. Let's continue on here with the doodads. We've got the nice little brown pieces all covered in their black spray paint, all dry, ready to go. So the next step is to go ahead and cover them with flocking, as shown here. These little designs. So it's the same kind of stuff you use back on the main part of the battlefield, just some more mixture of green flocking with some maybe little ballast or other little objects tossed in if you want. Got a 1-inch paintbrush and your brown paint. Dab just a tad bit of brown paint onto the little circle. Take out your flocking and just cover each of them with a little bit of flocking. Oh, and you want to do this on a newspaper. So any excess flocking that doesn't stick to the paint is going to end up on this newspaper. You can pick up the newspaper and funnel all that extra flocking back in your bottle. Shake it off. Just kind of set them off and let them dry then. When those are drying, we'll go ahead and show you how to work with the ones we've already finished up. And what you might notice is that they're going to kind of bend a little bit because the wet paint kind of makes the tagboard kind of bend and distort a little bit. Don't worry too much about that, because once the paint's dry, it'll go back to being fairly flat. And if you need to make it flatter, like all the other things, just go ahead and take them outside and slap a nice big heavy book on them, and that'll probably take care of them in a few hours. So there's a couple different ideas of things you can do here. One is going to be the kind of the rocky terrain. Oh crap, I need my glue, just fell down behind the cabinet. Okay, so there we go. So one's going to be kind of the rocky terrain, which you're going to need some Elmer's glue for that. Or any kind of white glue. Super glue would probably work alright. And what I've done, I've gone outside and collected a few rocks off the ground. And just kind of rinsed them off a little bit, a little cup of water here. And you can take something maybe like, well, paintbrush would probably work. So we can just use a paintbrush. A nice clean paintbrush. And just kind of stir them up a little bit. Kind of clean some of the dirt off and other little bits of crap that are on there. And if you don't want to use rocks that you have laying around outside for some bizarre reason, or maybe you don't live around any rocks, which would be even weirder, you can actually go ahead and most Home Depot style stores, Lowe's, those stores, will sell bags of gravel that contain little pebbles for about $2 or maybe like 50 pounds of this stuff. So you can go ahead and use some of that and make things, you know, use that instead of actually going out and collecting rocks if that seems more enticing to you for some reason. So let's go ahead here and start by taking some white glue out. Just put out a few dabs of white glue down on the little doodad, one probably for each rock. Reach in, pull out a rock, just quickly dry it off like a towel or a paper towel or something, and just go ahead, stick them down. And there you go, just like that. You've got some really quick, simple rocks, little rough areas that might be kind of obstacles for some units that can't climb over, depending on what game you're playing. Of course, there's no reason you have to limit them to the small little circles. I just do that so it gives them a little decoration in the battlefield. Some other things you can do is get creative with maybe make some a little bush thing like I showed you here. There's little green bushes on it. And what you use for that is what's called very heavy, thick flocking. Like, obviously here's our nice, thin, clean flocking. And you got this stuff, sorry, it's coarse flocking I'm thinking of. Clump foliage, yeah, sorry, okay, I'm really getting this wrong. Clump foliage is what I'm thinking of. So there you go. Just slap some of those down, let the glue dry in a couple hours, and you got a very quick and simple little kind of brush area. So now we're going to move on and start building a little forest template. So you got a neat little kind of dirt and muddy forest here with some little lichen and stuff growing in the ground. So to start building this, you're going to need some more tag board. Once again, I continue to recommend using boxes of empty food products. Just a great way to reuse resources. So if you have a template for a game, such as, say, MechWarrior, which has very templated terrain, maybe you want to lay that down and trace it out. If you don't care about the shape, just kind of draw something out freehand. So now we're going to put this thing off the side for just a minute, because what we're going to do is start working on the trees, because obviously if you got forest, you're going to need some trees. So reach over here and grab a few trees here. And all these are what's this stuff called? Oh, Christmas garland. So all these things are Christmas garland kind of wrapped together and stuck on a little base. And what do you know? It's more tag board base that's taken from some empty food product. So we're going to go ahead and make some of the bases. What I use for the base, if I get one of my little shakers out here that I use to sprinkle on flocking stuff, all I did was I traced the cap of it. So this is maybe about an inch and a quarter in diameter, a little circle. So just like we did with the doodads, go ahead, place down the cap, and just trace around it. And let's trace out four tree bases. We're going to make four trees for the woods. Now let's continue with what sounds like a broken record, but take these guys outside and give them all a nice coat of black spray paint. So now I'm going to continue on with building the trees here. First things first, take out your brown poster paint. You're going to take these little circles you've got all painted up with this black spray paint and just give them all a quick coat of brown paint. Yeah, that's pretty good. So you got a quick coat of brown paint on each one of the four bases. Now to build the trees, we're going to use garland. If you're not familiar with what this stuff is, this is a Christmas decoration. So you might probably find it online now. Most stores won't carry it unless you go to like that. There's like a place up in Frankenmuth, Michigan called Bronner's, which sells Christmas stuff all year long. They would obviously have it, but I'm sure if you look around on the internet, you can find this stuff. What it is, it's kind of the fake pine needles, as you'll see. People will use it to wrap around the stairways and around light poles and just fancy little decorations around Christmas time. So what you're going to do to build a tree is find a piece, start with a piece that's maybe about 4.5 to 5 inches long, depending on height of the tree. Obviously, the taller it is, the taller the tree is going to be. And just cut it off like this. And go ahead now and cut off a total of 5 pieces of about the same length. And one thing to note, garland is very messy. You'll find that it flakes off like crazy. I don't know why people even like our Christmas decorations, because it's still messy. But regardless, that's a matter of opinion, I guess. So start with the main root, the main branch of the tree, which is probably going to be the tallest one you've got. And you want to angle it so that all the little pine needles are facing downward, so to the ground. So you're going to start setting up like this. In the case you're curious, this is quite a bit different tree than what I showed you how to build last year, back in episode 11. So it is a different design. And you're going to take the second longest one you got, put it kind of up against the main one, and start wrapping around the trunk of the main one, obviously with its little pine needles pointing down as well. So what you're going to do is keep wrapping the things around each other, around the main trunk. If each successive one, you're going to start a little bit lower. So as the tree gets down towards the bottom, it's going to get thicker and thicker and thicker, because there's obviously more things wrapped around than there is at the top. It's a little bit of experimentation to get the right thickness and the different shape you want, but all you're doing is taking all the individual pieces and wrapping them around the main trunk of the tree, whatever you selected the main trunk to be. So you're going to get something that kind of looks like this. It's got a little thicker at the base there at the top. And now what you need to do is take some scissors and kind of trim the pine needles a little bit to make it very conical shaped. So remove a lot of them near the top and fewer of them as you go towards the bottom. And this is where it really gets messy. You've got little bits of crap flying all over the place. And then down at the very bottom, you can go ahead and maybe clear off a few of the bottom pine needles so that it looks like there's maybe a little bit of elevation off the ground. That's good enough. take one of your bases. And like with the doodad pieces, you'll notice that these kind of flex a little bit when you paint them. That's just how the paint process of the paint drying. They should go ahead and kind of smooth them out by the time the paint's done drying. You got a hot glue gun. Just apply a huge chunk of hot glue to the middle of the little place. And stick the tree down and pretty much hold it there until the hot glue dries. And just like the normal terrain, the woods are going to have two layers of paint on. It's going to first be the quick light brown layer. The second layer is going to be the heavier brown mixed with a little bit of black layer to get the muddy effect to it. Oh boy, get the muddy effect to it. So pretty simple. Start off, slap some brown paint down. Take out your 1-inch brush that you've been using all along here. And just give the whole thing a quick coat of paint. And what you'll notice here is you can already start to see it happening. Like with all the other tag boards, the paint gets on and starts to dry. It gets the tag board wet and it kind of bows up a little bit. So once this thing dries out, it should kind of smooth itself out pretty good. But if not, as usual, you can go ahead and just put a nice big thick book on it where everything's all set and done with the dry paint. You can just like watch it in the video right now. Watch it as it kind of bows up. Okay, so we'll put this guy off the dry and come back and finish him up. Next up in the woods, we're going to go ahead and do the little muddy effect like we did for the main terrain piece. Except this time we're going to use some lichen stuff. We're going to cover the base in lichen. And that's what you see here. If I show this, hold this up to the camera. All this kind of piney looking stuff, this is that lichen stuff I was talking about. So what you're going to do is go ahead and paint a second layer of brown on. Using your 1-inch brush and just a normal poster paint you've been using all along. And then go ahead with dab a little bit of black paint in like maybe two spots and do the whole little crisscross mixing thing like you did. Get the different shades of black and brown. And I'll give the whole little muddy look to it. And you go ahead and take out the lichen now. It's going to kind of come on in kind of large blocks. Just kind of break it up a little bit and dump it all across the wooded piece. So we're going to let this thing dry out, and when we come back, we'll finish it up with them by patting just a little bit of flocking around the edges of the base. It's now time to finish up the forest template. So all we're going to do is go ahead around the edge and flock the edge of it, so it'll create a little bit of transition between the actual forest template we got here and the kind of the grass that's sitting around it. So take a little bit of white glue, Elmer's glue of some sort, and just run a little bead just all around the outside of the template. Just like that there. And then take one of your 1-inch paint brushes that you've been using all along and just spread the glue out so maybe it occupies about at most a quarter to maybe a half an inch in some spots. And take your green flocking you used back in the main terrain base. This one, the doodad things. And just flock the edge. Well, you should do this on a piece of newspaper, because what you're going to do now, with the edges all flocked, seal your little container back up, pick up this template, and shake it off. So you go, whoops, oh, don't flip it over like that, just shake it off. So that gets all the excess flock that it didn't stick on in this newspaper, so you can kind of click on this newspaper and pour it back into the bottle. So we're going to build some hills here and give your battlefield some different levels of elevation to it. And what we're going to do is use an old favorite of mine. We got 3/4 inch styrofoam. You can buy it from just about any big box store for about $5 or a whole bunch of this stuff, $5, $6. You'll find it in the insulation aisle. Of course, if you want, you can get different brands of this stuff. You can get some of the nicer stuff at the arts and crafts store, but this stuff is just dirt cheap. What you're seeing in the camera, the smoke coming up, is from the hot wire foam cutter we're going to use in just a moment. This is basically, as its name implies, a hot wire foam cutter. It cuts through styrofoam because it's super hot, about 410 degrees Fahrenheit, and it literally melts the styrofoam away. If you follow my Twitter feed, you know that it's kind of debating back whether this thing actually creates toxic vapors or not. I couldn't find any packaging or, you know, any warning message in the packaging saying it does create toxic vapors. It kind of leaves a nasty smell. But apparently there's no, like, you know, not even that little super paranoid statement from the state of California is always on every warning label. So, let's hopefully... It doesn't say anything about toxic vapors, but hey, if you want to wear some protection for breathing, go right ahead. It's probably a good thing to do. So what you're going to do now is trace out the shape of the hill on the styrofoam. What you're going to find you want to do is actually create first maybe a large base, like I've got sitting over here, a larger one. And then you're going to go ahead and drop and probably make some other ones that are a little bit smaller so you can stack them on top of each other and create kind of a tiered effect. And the reason we use the styrofoam, well, it's really starting to smell now. Whew. Haven't even started cutting yet. The reason we use this styrofoam is because ideally you want kind of a flat top to hills, because you want the figures to be able to stand pretty flat. I mean, you could go ahead and make sloped hills, but you got to make them fairly gentle, otherwise the figures will fall over, especially some of the top-heavy ones, like the Warhammer Fantasy banners and things. So that's why a lot of games just use flat hills like this. They have a little bit of steep sides to them to kind of simulate different changes in elevation, but they're relatively flat for the figures to sit on. So let's get started here and draw out some shapes you're going to do. I've already got some big bases I cut out as I showed you, so I'm just going to do some smaller pieces we're going to put on top of the bases. So let's do a nice, kind of a small one, looks kind of like that. All I'm doing is just kind of freehand some different shapes. We'll do another kind of small one like that, and we'll finish up with really third and really small one down here in the corner like this. Also, safety goggles wouldn't be a bad thing when you're playing around with this, but I don't know, I seem to misplace my safety goggles. Oops. So as always, use appropriate safety precautions. So how this works is you're going to go ahead and take this nice super hot wire, which heats up about 30 seconds, and just stick it right through the styrofoam. Where you're going to start cutting. And now just very gently move it along through the styrofoam. You don't really need to force it. Because if you force it too much, the wire is going to break. I found if you move it up and down a little bit, it tends to cut a little bit faster. But just go ahead and trace out the outlines of your hills. And this styrofoam cutter will just go right through it. I probably should make a standard disclaimer that according to the instructions of the styrofoam thing, you're supposed to use it only on styrofoam brand products. Technically, right now, I am violating the structures of the product, but it seems to work all right. Maybe that's why it doesn't have any dangers about toxic vapors. The styrofoam brand products don't make toxic vapors, but these do, maybe. Man, this stuff reeks. And this is one of those kind of smells where it'll linger for a while. And as one would expect, be careful not to get anything in the way of the hot iron cutter, whether it be wood, paper, especially newspaper. Newspaper is really flammable. Or even worse, your hands. You don't want to get burned by something like this. It will mess you up. It'll leave you nice scars and all sorts of little things on your body. So we got the three pieces cut out, and what we're going to do now is give the pieces kind of a sloped edge here. If you look on the side, this one I got done already. You can see that just kind of slopes down a little bit, or on this one it's a little bit more, it's kind of variations you can see here. That just gives a whole neat little effect of the hills, kind of gives the idea of a little bit of sloping, there's supposed to be a little bit of sloping to them, even though they are kind of flat. What you're going to do is on the top of the hills, you're going to go ahead and draw a ring around inside. The range is anywhere from maybe about a quarter of an inch in from the edge to maybe upwards of an inch in. So basically you're going to get different angles of slope as you go around the side of the thing. So now get the slope effect. What you're going to do is, let's go with this piece right here. Take your hot wire cutter and you're going to stick it in an angle. So you're going to insert it on the line. But the needle's gonna exit out the side or very near to the bottom of the styrofoam piece. So if I hold this thing up carefully kind of sideways, you can see how I'm doing it, where it's going in at an angle and kind of coming out of the bottom. So this way you follow along one end, you follow along the line you drew, the other end you kind of follow along with the out the bottom edge of the piece of styrofoam. And what this is going to do is going to go ahead and create that sloped edge. You're basically cutting it around this thing at a diagonal angle. And by varying the distance that the line you drew was from the edge, it's going to go ahead and cut a different angles, because obviously the further away from the edge the line you drew, the steeper, the shallower the angle is going to be. There you go. So go ahead now, you can just lift this new part off, the part you cut off off. And as you can see here, you can now see the edges are all sloped. So you want to go ahead and do that with the rest of your hill pieces. And we're going to come back and start painting them up. Alright, so let's go ahead. Now we've got your styrofoam pieces all cut out with the cool angles on them. And we need to give them a black coat of paint like everything else in this battlefield. Though, you don't want to use spray paint on them. Spray paint dissolves styrofoam. So, I mean, it can do some cool effects, like if you watched way back in episode 2 when I built the Lizardman Temple. That's episode 2, season 1, by the way. You'd see how I used the spray paint to get kind of a destroyed rubble effect. So, I mean, you could use that if you want to create maybe little pot-marked hills, make it like there's a lot of fighting and stuff going on. But if you don't want it, do that. Just go ahead. We're just going to use black poster paint. It's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff. You can buy it for a few bucks or a nice big bottle from any kind of basic store, any store anywhere, really. And I've got a 1-inch brush here, pretty standard thing, about 75, 80 cents from your local Home Depot or those kind of stores. Just slap some black paint down on the hill and just cover it in black paint. Alright, that's pretty good. Alright, so we got all the pieces painted black. So we're going to come back and start putting the terrain on them. So the next step of painting these hills is give them a nice terrain effect, just like the whole original battlefield was. So what we're going to go ahead and do is apply, obviously, two layers of brown. First, a quick brown layer, and then a thicker layer over that with a little bit of mud color mixed in. So let's apply the quick brown first. Just drop a little bit of paint down on the mountain. And just paint a few sections. These are the areas that are going to be the mud and not the grass. Just really quick and nothing fancy. There we go. So if I slide these three back in the camera, you can see now I've got areas that are brown, they're going to be the mud, and the areas that are black are going to eventually become the grass. So we're going to set those guys off the side and let them dry before continuing on the next step with them. Take a little bit more brown paint and cover up all the areas you painted before with brown, the second coat of brown, as you've done up to this point. Then maybe take just a dab of black paint, drop it on there, and do the whole crisscross mixing to get the different shades of brown. So, as the first layer, let this second layer of paint dry, and we'll come back and put a little bit of grass on. It's time to finish up the elevated terrain. It's going to be finished up just like the rest of the terrain. So you've already got your kind of muddy areas painted out. You're just going to go take some brown paint in the areas that are not muddy and sprinkle some of the green flocking right in the base, and you'll be good to go. So, drop a little bit of brown paint down the areas that are not currently marked as being muddy and just quickly paint over them. As you paint each section, get out your flocking shaker and just spread down the flocking on them. There we go. And after each section, pick up the little piece and shake it off so all the excess flocking will fall down onto like a newspaper beneath you. Therefore, you're able to collect that flocking and use it again. And
well, that's about it. It's time to go ahead now. We've got all the elements of the battlefield done. Let's go ahead and assemble them all and see how this thing looks when it's all completely together.
All right, well, thanks for watching this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. We got a few things coming up for you in some future episodes. Here's my new War Machine starter set. This is the Crix box. So once I get that together, which I bet It's almost ready to go. I just got to finish painting up the guys and base them a little bit. We're going to go ahead and get a few more figures and do some reviews of that game. Not too long, maybe next two or three episodes. Also, you might want to check out the most recent issue of PC Gamer if you're a big 40K person. This is the June 2008 issue. It's got the reveal of Dawn of War 2, which is obviously the Warhammer 40,000 real-time strategy game, as well as some looks at the new Warhammer 40,000 MMO, as well as Warhammer Online Age of Reckoning, which is also coming out this year. So, if you're interested in any of the Games Workshop's kind of video game side, check this issue of PC Gamer out. And with that, if you've got any questions, comments, you can send them along to jason@rocklesoftware.com. That's rocklesoftware.com. I got nothing else to talk about right now, so thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008, Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
Schrodinger's Cat Paradox by CJAX is released under a Creative Commons license and was acquired from www.passefaio.com.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.passefaio.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.